Sophie, have you seen that trend at the moment that's like, you wouldn't last an hour in the asylum that they raised me in?
Oh, yeah, then everyone posts, like, MySpace pictures or...
What is your asylum that you were raised in? Mine was Tumblr, potentially Kik also.
Mine was an alcoholic, violent mother.
I just wanted a fun episode. I just wanted to open the episode with something fun. A little joke. But no. Unfortunately.
An alcoholic violent mother. LOL.
Alcoholism. LOL.
No, the asylum that they raised me in was probably Atkins diets.
What is that?
There you go. Like, millennials know exactly what I'm talking about.
What on earth is that?
Does it have to be something that's like actually fun or something that was traumatic?
But funny. Traumatic. Your mum being an alcoholic was just not funny.
Was not funny. What... I was trying to make a reference on diet culture, and there was this whole thing of dieting, and Atkins was like, you eat zero carbs and you have to go into, like, it's a bit like keto, I guess. But you used to, but people would eat like cheese and fat.
I just wanted to do a fun trend and Sophie ruined it, guys. Sophie ruined it. I tried. Sophie ruined it. Anyway, welcome to the podcast.
You needed to be more specific. And welcome to On Wednesdays We Wear Black with me, Sophie K, and Yasmin Suman.
Hiya.
It has been about 4 months since we've last done a emails episode, Yasmin.
We've got to dust off these emails. It's been a
there
minute.
There are so many that we've been sent. We're going to try and get through the best ones. We'll try and get through as many as we possibly can. Yasmin also reached out on social media to see what people wanted us to talk about.
There's so many DMs I haven't replied to. I'm replying to them here. I'm so sorry.
Absolutely shocking. So do you want me to start?
Yes.
Okay. Let me start here. We've had so many, Yasmin. This is unreal. So somebody said, this is like in December this was sent. They said,
sorry.
I'm guessing they're American because they said y'all. I wanted to drop y'all a major note of thanks for your podcast and voices. I became a metal fan in school, undergrad, but never really attended any shows during that time. Was never part of the community and was interested in it, but always felt awkward and out of place. Mm. They've been listening and mustered up the courage to drop us a line. And so they've sent that through. I'm South Asian and some flavour of non-binary, trans, femme. It's also really cool and exciting to hear Yasmin's opinion.
Yippee! I don't know why people value my opinion. Have you met me? I'm literally stupid. There's nothing going on. If I could describe my thought process to you right now, it's a duck, specifically a mallard duck, spinning around in high speed while a microwave sound plays. You're spinning me around, my feet are off,
wow.
But with a microwave sound in the background as well. I don't know why. Thank you. That's
so very
sweet.
So this person's saying, I'm not sure when I'll next attend a live show.
Soon, I hope.
But I particularly appreciated the list of gig tips you all had a few episodes ago.
Oh my gosh.
And the fashion discussion episodes as well.
Right. Gig tips, Sophie. Have we got any updated gig tips for them?
Updated gig tips. Don't get too drunk. Don't drink to try and get through the fear, the anxiety of it all.
Yeah,
it'll be all right.
Don't start doing bombs and shots when the first band is on. You won't make it till the last song, baby. You just won't.
Also, no one cares.
Oh god, no one cares. No one cares. Like, there's a very, very, very small group of people on social media who post videos of people at gigs and make fun of them, and like, that's all that you see, because 99% of the time the rest of people at gigs who paid money to be there are like, I'm actually going to enjoy myself at this gig. Crazy prospect. So don't worry about what people are doing or think of you. Literally, everyone's done stupid things at gigs, and that will be you. That's been me. Don't worry.
That's good advice, Yasmin.
I know.
We've got another one here from somebody who was listening with their fiance, and they said they wanted to talk about some of the hotties that we maybe didn't appreciate our episode a while back.
Yes.
So they said,
let me talk about sexy people. Come on.
They said, Lahon, I think it's Lahon, Lejon, where this, Lahan Witherspoon from Seven Dust. I can
nice.
Get that.
Nice.
Brian from I Prevail. He's really got
yes!
that wholesome vibe. I'm
yes!
too old to appreciate Brian. I feel more like maternal.
He reminds me
him.
As a of a lesbian. He would make a wonderful lesbian.
And I've said in the past, honestly, that kind of like androgynous vibe always does well. Always does well. Mm-hmm. Ricky from Ice Nine Kills.
Yes. Also the drummer, Vince? Oh my god, I'm having a hold on.
So this was a list that was sent through. Thank you so much to
Vinnie Moreau. Vinnie Moreau from Motionless in White, the drummer. Mwah.
Okay.
What a beautiful person.
Mm. Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day, Mike Shinoda, Johannes from Avatar, Dustin Bates
yes.
from Starset. Wait,
yes.
which one
got Avatar,
you?
Yes.
Avatar.
That is a handsome man.
He's a very tall.
So
very
majestic.
Tall man. Very majestic.
So majestic.
Jimi Hendrix and yeah. Dolly Parton.
Oh my god, yeah. Not,
and they said not rock, but you know, Dolly
well,
is Dolly.
Dolly's everyone finds
Dolly is Dolly.
Dolly's Dolly, listen.
I think that's a really good list, actually.
I would do anything for Dolly. I agree. I think that's a very good list. Is there any more hotties I want to add? That's a good question. Did I say Jenna McDougall from Tonight Alive? If
you
not,
said that in the episode.
Oh, I love that woman.
But it was underappreciated hotties, and I think Jenna was always appreciated. So. Anyway, we've got one here. This is from Loopy Loopy Cat, who said, I don't know if you remember a few episodes ago, I announced that I was now into Squishmallows. And so Loopy Loopy Cat said, welcome to the wonderful world of Squishmallows.
Hey girl, wanna be besties?
At first I thought they were adding crack to the material. Thankfully, they're not.
I can imagine the Squishmallow CEOs being like, yes, we've produced a type of crack that is only accessible to children. Sew it into these Squishmallows.
And this person says they have ADHD and two autistic sons and a very anxious daughter, and these things are like a small hit of Xanax. They work by being amazing sensory calming tools.
This isn't sponsored, but if they want to sponsor us, you know, I'd love that. I've worked with them before, and so is Sophie. Killstar do their own versions of Squishmallows called Creatures, and they're fucking lit. They're so cool. They're like a little bit spendy, probably around the same price market as Squishmallows, but they're also cool if you want to try something new.
Well, this person said that they got one like me as a joke years back, and she said she's now on rations due to the amount I may have acquired over time, and I'm more than happy to admit I will snuggle up to one whilst my hubs is working late and I need to sleep. They are all over my house.
I love that. I love
Kat
that.
Kat sent that through. Love it, Kat. Yeah, Squishmallows is... I haven't bought any more. I've been on a ban.
Ooh.
I know.
Ooh. Killstar, send us some creatures for free so then Sophie doesn't have to buy them. So technically, we're not cheating on your ban.
You're so... Have you had more followers or more deals lately? Because your influencer vibes have gone up a notch.
Maybe. Or maybe I'm just a good business person for this goddamn podcast.
Maybe. So, somebody... loads of people sent us loads of bans that they thought of what was coming in and going out. But I'm not going to read those out because you don't know the band yet, it's boring. Hello, Sophie and Yasmin. I have yet to write into the podcast despite listening from the start. This is Francesca. How awesome is that? They've been here from day one.
Hey!
Francesca said, we've met twice at Download and you were both lovely and you created a very welcoming space in what was a very overwhelming place for me.
Stop! That's so sweet. I love that.
I'm surprised you didn't follow that up with, do you hear that when we were young festival? That's Yasmin's mission.
People have come out to events just to see us. Hire us. Bring us out. I will give you my passport number if you want.
So
I've got it scanned and ready to go.
This person sent this before Valentine's Day. How much do we suck? I'm sorry, we suck at reading emails.
You suck.
So they said, I thought I'd share an idea for an episode. If you see the email in time, Valentine's Day is coming up, but it falls perfectly on a Wednesday. I got just the story for what was a Valentine's fail.
Okay.
Oh, man. In 2022, my then girlfriend decided to deal a double blow. She broke up with me on Valentine's, which also happens to be my birthday.
Oh.
The worst part? Then she says, it gets worse. We were on the same course at uni, and just over a week later, she was already with somebody new.
No!
A guy that was also on our course. So I had to deal with that being in my face when they were the last people I wanted to see. I thought spending my 21st birthday in lockdown was the worst birthday yet, but nope, it got worse. This person said, so anyone feeling down on Valentine's.
My jaw is on the floor right now. I'm so sorry. That is terrible. What the
hell? Isn't it? Do you know what? I don't know where you are right now. In fact, I'm going to delete the references to that person's name in case they want to stay anonymous. But can you write in and let us know you're okay?
Please? Please?
Let us know that you are doing okay, because that is brutal.
That is brutal.
That is awful. I can't imagine. What's the worst way? I'm trying to think the worst way. The worst way I've ever been broken up with was on MySpace.
I got dumped over text after 6 years. I win.
Oh, yeah.
That was so bad. That was so bad. Imagine being with someone for 6 years and you just break up with... That was insane.
But hopefully the person who wrote in there will know, just as we know now, that, man, they were not good people.
Oh, my God.
They were not good people. Once you take those love goggles off, you're like...
Oh, babe.
Gross.
Like, honestly... If I hadn't have got broken with up over text, I wouldn't have realised I was a lesbian. So sometimes it is for the best.
So we've got another one here. This person said, they've written in, they're Gen X, old school metalhead, probably ADHD, but waiting for their diagnosis. Been listening since the start. And this person is from my neck of the woods in Yorkshire.
Yippee!
And... they said that they're going to try and take some of our advice. Oh, dear.
Oh, God. Okay. I just want to say I can't be held liable for any advice I gave you. If it goes terribly wrong, if you get hurt, if you die, I can't be held accountable.
So they said, do you have any advice on making friends as an adult? Because I have no idea where to start looking. Any suggestions for websites? And they've said... yeah, they're looking for places that they can go.
Do you know what? I would always... There's two things I'll say. If you live in a big city, I'd definitely look at, like, community events, because Birmingham has some really cool events for queer people that I've found. But Facebook has so many cool events. Like, if you're going to Download Festival, there's, like, a Download Singles page, there's a Download Friends page, the same for Bloodstock and Slam Dunk Festival. Like, if you're ever going to a festival alone, you can make so many friends in those groups, and then you're just friends forever, like, outside of going to festivals together. So, like, I would say start going to festivals and join those groups and make friends.
I am not the right person to ask on this, because...
I'm your one friend.
I don't like making friends. I like my friends.
We made friends 4 years ago, and that was you were like, that is the youngest I can go. Your people, Yasmin, annoy me.
Yeah, that, well, you are that.
Gen Z Sophie tolerates.
Yeah, I don't make friends easily, so I'm not the right person to ask. I value, once you're in the gang, you're like, I will die for you. Tell me. I'm the person you want to call if you've just murdered someone, because I will help you hide the body. But to make a new friend?
Ugh.
I don't know how to do that. Like, I genuinely
Facebook
don't know how.
Facebook
is a good
place for adults to join, like, specific niche groups. I joined a group where it was, like, all of us posting. It's called You Okay Hun? ? And it's all of us posting, like, we're, like... yummy mummies, and we're like, yeah, just got my new pink bedazzled car, and it's, I don't know, it's just a shit posting, right? But I love it, and I've made friends in there, and I've made friends in my sea glass collecting group on Facebook, and I've made friends in my Westie dog group on Facebook. You can make friends anywhere.
See, this is where I struggle, because I'm in a surfing group, and I feel like it's a lot of know-it-all arseholes So I don't like the people in that group. I'm in a Chihuahuas
You should group. Make a group on Facebook surfing, but for people who aren't arseholes.
There is one called Girls Who Aren't Good at Surfing, but there's also one for Chihuahuas, and I feel like there's a lot of people who can't spell.
Chihuahuas.
I'm just really snobby about there and there. And then I'm just an arsehole. I'm horrible. And then I'm also in a group for
women. Anyway, don't take Sophie's advice.
A gynecological group talking about fibroids and bleeding, and people post pictures of their periods.
Either that or group, Reddit. Facebook or Reddit is quite good for either of those things. For really niche interests you have, I started collecting sea glass, and my God, me and the sea glass community. I'm friends with like old people on Facebook because I have an old dog. Like, old people love West Highland Terriers. I have a West Highland Terrier. He's only two, but
being a Gen X is hard. Like, because I'm at the top of the millennial, so I feel how the Gen Xers. I know it's just going to go more and more down that way.
Facebook is a good place to start. Yeah, that's what I'll say. Right. Just take a niche interest you have, whether it be like stamp collecting. I don't know.
Metal.
Stamp collection. Specific types of scissors. Artisanal.
Yeah, there's niche groups for everything.
And just
there are
go
niche
with
groups
it.
For everything.
Go with it.
Do you know what? I found that walking my dog, I've made more friends walking my dog than I have in years.
Yes! Yes! I made so many friends in this. I've just moved, right? This is great advice for me. I've just moved. And I've made so many friends in my building from just walking my dog. And Sunny is an antisocial dog. So I made friends with other people who have antisocial dogs, and we're besties. And our dogs are just anxious little babies together.
Yeah, I've got like people whose names I didn't even know for the first few months of knowing them. I just knew their dogs' names. That's the worst part. So that was that email. Thank you for sending that through. This is someone who's also a presenter of a rock show. They've got the Wide Ways Rock Show. And their name is Carl. If you want to
look up
Carl, if you're a Gen Xer listening, and yeah, chat to Carl.
Hi, Carl. So
we've got another one here. Someone was saying, I was just listening to today, sorting the inbox. And they said, I remembered that I'm going to London in August with friends. So wanted to ask two of the coolest people in the UK for recommendations for activities in London to go for music and food, whatever you think is cool.
Okay.
Do you know what? How long is a piece of string? Because London is next level.
Pick an area of London. I'd say pick Camden, and then you can kind of search within Camden. Think of London like a country, and every borough in London is its own community and city. I think for music and for culture, definitely just hang out in Camden for a few days. There's like really good places to eat on Camden that you can just kind of walk past. There's usually live music happening in Camden. There's a lot of pubs there, so you can kind of get a sense of like the community. There's a few like alternative pubs there as well where they just play rock music, so that can be quite cool. I would say avoid central London, like, as in, unless you want to
Oxford Street.
Yeah. I think do a day of touristy stuff, like do a day of going to see the Royal whatever, go see Oxford Street, but then avoid it for the rest of the week because it's just so busy and so expensive all of the time.
Do you know what? The thing is with London, because I live in London, and there is so much always closing and opening that it's like a new city all the time. So what I do is I search on TikTok,
yeah,
best restaurants in London for under this price. Because people say that British food is bad, but you can get everything in London.
Everything.
But you just have to know where
food.
To go.
Oh, Dishoom is really good. Dishoom is really good.
What, that Indian restaurant that I recommended to you, Yasmin, and you were like, I would never go there because I'm actually South Asian and there's no way that there's a good dal.
It was actually a good dal. I hate to say it. Sophie recommended me food. I just don't trust people who aren't South Asian recommending you South Asian food, but it was actually really good. They have one in Birmingham now and it's great. Oh, there's like an EL and N cafe. No shade to them. It's so overpriced, so overrated. They have one in Birmingham now and it sucks. And I'm... All of those like gimmicky Instagram cafes suck. But just pick... I'd say just go to Camden. Work out from there. You know, Camden is... grubby. It's don't have your phone out there at night.
It's become touristy. It used to be like really really like alternative, but now it's like alternative for tourists. It's just I find it a bit weird.
I say go, but hold your phone close to you, because the last time I got my phone almost robbed was in Camden.
Oh, yeah, never walk around in London with your phone. You've got to be street smarts when you live in the
people
city.
People will ride on bikes to snatch your phone, so...
Right, what's the rules of London? Right, you ready? Whatever you do, if you're not from a city, when you're walking through a city, do not stop. If you're going to stop, make sure you have your back against a wall. Yeah. And you're out of the way of
stop
the, like...
Stop on the side of a street, like...
Imagine you're a car. Imagine you're a car. You have to pull over if you want to stop. If you're going down to the end of the escalator, don't stop at the end to look at the map. Always stand on the right-hand side on the escalator. And remember to look the right way, because a lot of people come from places like America and so they look for the wrong way to cross the road.
Have a little... what is it, like a charm to hold your phone with? Because I was stood in Camden after we supported Meet Me at the Altar, and I was about to get the train home, and then all the trains got cancelled, so I was actually getting my phone out to message my friend M. Had it out for 1 second, someone tried to grab it, and I snatched it back because the charm was around my wrist. Saved my life.
Yeah, and it's like crackhead central
fact,
around there.
Fun fact, a psychic that came on this podcast told me that my phone would get robbed and then I'd go to New York. And those two things happened.
Oh, yeah, interesting. That is true.
Crazy.
Okay, so the next email that we have here. 47-year-old bisexual woman married 20-plus years to the world's straightest man.
Hey! You single yet? No?
And
you want to be?
This, hang on. This person has a 15-year-old emo daughter.
Well, God forbid I hit on MILFs, okay?
Stop trying to break up families.
I can't help
this person
I'm
has
so sorry.
An emo daughter who's about your age, so they definitely wouldn't be interested in you, Yasmin, because you're a baby to them. And she said her daughter struggles with ADHD so bad that they thought it was BPD. She's doing better on the right meds. She and I bond tightly over music. I wanted to write to you and let you know that I've been listening to your podcast every day for a couple of weeks now, ever since I found it. Often a couple of episodes because I love the vibe and energy.
Aww.
This is sweet. So this person said, I know you know you have a varied audience, but I wanted to thank you for connecting us all. Rocker chicks, old and young, greys and rainbows, you make us all feel welcome in rock, and I've lived long enough to know it's not always been that way. Oh my gosh, I'm about to come on my period, so I'm crying.
Stop, that's so sweet. Also, that's really interesting because I have ADHD and BPD. My body was like, both. But a lot of people who have ADHD get misdiagnosed with BPD and vice versa.
Yeah.
I have both. I've checked.
So this person says that they said, thank you, please don't stop. I want my daughter to be able to feel welcome in the rock scene because she is them, not for them.
Does your daughter want to be my best friend?
No, I would not. If I had a daughter, Yasmin, 15-year-old daughter, the last person I would introduce them to is you.
We have so much in common.
This person seems really cool, and they've something like album covers that they do for Christmas together as a family, and there's like System of a Down, the dog dressed like in a System of a Down advert.
Oh, that's cute.
It's just really cool. Really wholesome. So now we've become a family show, Yasmin.
Oh my God. Making families and ruining families all in one. I just can't help that I love MILFs, okay? If liking MILFs is illegal, lock me up. Take me to prison now.
No! It'll be the MILFs that get locked up. Okay, so this is a really interesting one.
I'm of age, officer. I'm 25. Listen.
This is a really interesting one, and I cannot wait to hear your take, Yasmin. Okay. So this was sent in from Matthew, but I'm going to call him Matt because that's just what we do here in the UK.
Hey, Matt.
There are lots of EDM songs that feature metal vocalists, and I'm wondering if you knew of them, and also I would love to know what you think about them, as dubstep metal is one of my favourite genres right now. Some of my favourites are Kazo featuring Bad Omen, Sullivan King featuring Left to Suffer, Excision featuring Devil Wears Prada, Elenium and Excision featuring I Prevail.
Let me
and
tell
they've
you.
Sent me like a, they've sent a list to us of all different bands.
So, I'm about to word vomit. in the early 2010s, I feel like EDM and metal crossed so much, but more because it was all on MySpace, right? Like, MySpace was where all the music genres that weren't mainstream got posted. So, like, a lot of EDM artists, a lot of emo artists, a lot of metal artists all kind of sat in that same space, and a lot of them collaborated. For example, Skrillex used to be in an emo band called From First to Last, but then he made Skrillex, and at the same time, there was Knife Party coming out, so the early 2010s was a lot of EDM, but also a lot of the people in EDM really liked emo, so they had ties to emo, so they would bring in people like Bring Me the Horizon, Asking Alexandria, so on and so forth, to do like remixes. And there's like a Suicide Season Step Up and Cut Up and Remastered or something like that, and it's like an EDM version of the album. There's also an Ask Alexandria one. Attack Attack literally were an EDM metal band, or even just like a EDM question mark metal band. There's so many. I love it. I think,
well,
it's great.
Shikari, the OGs.
Well, yeah. Yeah, Enter Shikari and the OGs. You see people like Pendulum collaborating with a lot of metal artists, like Bullet for My Valentine.
I'm going to take that back, actually. They aren't OGs in that scene, because there was also, like, Prodigy.
The Prodigy.
Yeah. The
Prodigy, like,
but they had such a different vibe. But here's the thing. A lot of people forget as well that Jonathan Davis from Korn is on the side, was, like, doing EDM DJ stuff.
A lot of people forget that Caleb Shomo did the same thing.
And Korn had... Yeah, they did a track that was Get the fuck up, shut up. Do you know that one?
Caleb did, like, while Beartooth was happening, he also started like a little mini side career. Never really explored it until Motionless and White, Another Life, he did a remix of it. Oh, I love that I know random facts about Caleb Shomo.
Can I say something controversial? The letters EDM scare me. So I can handle dubstep, and I know I can kind of listen to dubstep and get along with it, because I feel like a lot of the time there's a vocal melody on it. But
do you know, like, it's low key making a comeback right now?
Dance music, Yasmin. I that is what sets off my overstimulation of my autism, and I really struggle to hear like house, trance, like all of those types of genres. Sends me under. I used to have to work at a club that had an acid house night, and when I tell you, that used to depress me.
There is a song right now called What I Want by Gregor McMurray, and it reminds me so much of Knife Party, and it was released in 2024. It's called What I Want, and it's literally like a Knife Party song. It is a Knife Party song. I love it. I loved Knife Party. Oh. And Deadmau5.
There's also, who was it that did that song? The one that we sometimes play, Turn Down for What?
Upon a Burning Body.
Upon a Burning Body. Turn Down.
On Pop Goes Punk, Fearless
but
Records.
That original, right? That song, whether it's the original, whether it's the cover, is just one of the songs that goes the hardest in the planet.
Do you remember when... I loved when metal bands used to do like covers of, or I said metal bands, metalcore bands used to do covers of like hip hop songs. So like in the early 2000s, you had, well, more 2010s, you had like Of Mice and Men opening with Go Hard in the Pit. And it was like a breakdown with that little bit at the start. And then there was Pierce the Veil, who did like a bunch of different like covers. And I just miss when artists did that. I just miss it.
Well, that gives us our rundown of EDM. Interesting, because it looks like Sullivan King's going to be at Download, so I'll be definitely Download Festival, so I'll be definitely checking that out, because it should be a good show.
Oh, yummy. I've got some social media questions if you want them.
Yes, let's do some social media.
Okay, so here's one that we haven't addressed. What happened to We Wear Black merch? Do we want to finally clear the record, Sophie?
What happened to We Wear Black merch? Should we just... I'm just going to say this. We had some issues with some technical difficulties. And so the merch that was planned had to be pulled. But we are currently in conversations to make sure we have another team on board to deliver our merch.
Yes. That is a statement that Sophie is making. That is very smart, and I wouldn't have said that. It's very stressful, and it almost sent me into a heart attack.
So same.
We haven't spoken about it.
We nearly fell out. We've never, in all of this time, I don't think Yasmin and I have properly, like, nearly fallen out. Because we both have such strong work ethics. But that was so stressful. It put us, but we were both nearly in hospital.
It ended our friendship, yeah. But it wasn't us. And it will come soon. We have designs ready to go. So fret not. It's coming. We're just waiting for other people. What is the greatest? This is a good question. What was the greatest opener / headliner set either of you have ever seen? Best opener.
Ooh. Best opener headliner.
Best opener to the headliner, like best. I'm going to guess it's like the best, the most jam-packed set you saw. So like the opener, the middle band and the main band were fucking sick. Honestly, I'm not going to lie, that Pierce of Elle tour with Dayseeker and Hold in Absence, mwah. But I saw Issues supporting Pierce of Elle and Sleeper with Sirens, and it was genuine. It rocked my world. Like, it changed the trajectory of my life. It went into my brain and changed my brain chemistry. When I tell you, I saw Issues in their, like, self-titled era. Ugh!
Nice. See, I've got a couple for you. I would say I saw Horror open up for Dillinger Escape Plan on their final tour, which was just mind-blowing. I also saw Machine Head open up for Slipknot and Korn open up for Slipknot.
Ooh.
Machine Head was a really good gig because they just released The Blackening. So that was a very special tour for me, I'd say.
I'm jealous. I'm trying to think. I always get asked these questions and I have really good answers, but I forget them, so I'm sorry. What else? Would you and Sophie DJ at my friend's wedding next year, asking as the man of honour? I would love to, but unfortunately, I fear that I would ruin it. Because I DJed recently at Propaganda Bristol, and I couldn't stop using an air horn in all of my set.
Wow.
Every
you
time I tried to stop,
becoming,
I just went...
For all of those Gen Xers and millennials that are listening, Westwood. Tim Westwood, but without the sexual issues. But that was a real Tim West move. Okay. I mean, our agent is F10. So if you want to get in touch with Will at F10, he can sort it out.
Go to Festival Bum Bag. I have... Oh!
So a fanny pack, if you're American.
So glad you asked. I really like, because I think their quality is really good, Loungefly. I know they're expensive. I got one in a thrift store in America for $20, and it changed my world. And it was the My Melody Karomi Sanrio collection. Everyone in that store was mad when I walked out with that.
Do you know, I've just looked up Loungefly because I'd never heard of it. So they're backpacks, are they?
They're backpacks with different themes. So like, if you like alternative stuff, like they have Jack Skellington ones, Hello Kitty ones. They're really good quality though. Like,
they're
genuinely
very cutesy.
They're expensive, but like the quality makes it worth it, in my opinion anyway. And I got mine from the thrift store and it's still really good. Loungefly, there's a brand called Hellflower who are sponsoring the Heavy Music Awards this year. I really like their bum bag. I always take it with me. I'm a tote bag girly. I really like Mary Wyatt totes personally. I'm trying to think of who else. Vans do nice little bum bags in the summer.
You are such an influencer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've got a Vans one. I've got one that I got like years ago that's sequin flames. Oh, I've got a Slipknot clutch. That's probably my favourite.
Oh, Damage Society do like themed band bags. And you can use your code Yasmin15 for 15%.
Oh my God. Right, next email. I'm going to read this for you now.
You can.
Yeah, I know you can. Oh my gosh.
You can and you should.
So, someone got in touch here and they said they love the podcast and they said, after things that would get you cancelled episode, it got me thinking with the flashing debate.
Oh.
If it's just boobs, I don't see it as an issue. As straight, white, cis male, I feel that if I can go in a mosh pit and take my shirt off when I get too warm, then everyone, no matter their sex or gender, should be able to do so too.
Do you know what? Valid.
Valid. However, I understand that it's a very sensitive issue with not just ages. Agree that if you are under 21, then maybe keep your shirt on. But also that there are idiots that would see it as
like
a quote-unquote
so
opportunity.
There's so many nuances to this. Where it's like,
so many nuances.
The good intentions of people who would be like, yeah, you know, like everybody should be able to express themselves and like there's no difference between a man's body and a woman's body when it comes to boobs and stuff. And I get that, but there would be too many people who would use that situation to do terrible things, to either spread propaganda about women at shows being whores, or sexually assault someone, or minors might get involved. Like, there's too many potholes in a well-intentioned idea that I think sometimes it's better to just leave it than to try and make it a good thing.
I've got a suggestion. I feel like anyone who has breasts that might be banned from being shown or feels weird about it, I think we should, you know, merkins, which are like fake pubic hair.
Right.
I think we should have fake hair, like chest hair, so that we can show our breasts, but we desexualize them.
Yes. How's make them that? Hairy and sweaty. Gross.
No, sweaty is too sexy because then they become slick and that's a whole vibe. They've got to be maybe sprayed with something that smells.
Hairy and then covered in little, like, you know, the little baubles of like fabric that you get when you wash a pair of joggers or a jumper and it like balls up, like the fabric on it balls up. That, some lint on it, some like dust, some dust bunnies up in there.
I feel like if you stuck hair around your nipple, it would help it stop being sexualized, and then you'd be safe to get your nipples out.
From the armpits to the nipples, that would be so gross that men wouldn't want anything to do with it.
There you go. Okay. we've got one here. Somebody sent through something saying, technically not a dive bar because it's alcohol-free, but the Beehive in Salt Lake City in the United States is a 250-cap room with a vegan bistro in the front space. I saw Polaris, Like Monster Flames, Alpha Wolf, loads of great bands they saw. And they said, great energy, people were crowd surfing, and it's just the best vibes. So we were talking about dive bars that we wanted recommending. The Beehive in Salt Lake City in the US.
I wouldn't call it a dive bar because I love it and it's not a dive bar. Mm. But the Devil's Dog in Birmingham does wings and hardcore bands on Thursday, and it's so fucking sick.
Do you know, it is really hard.
So
for American,
sick!
For American coming to the UK, just be careful with your expectations of wings. There are very few places where you can go to get good wings.
Listen, a brown man owns that venue. The wings are fucking great.
You've got it. But Americans have a very set expectation of what they want from wings.
The wings are good to American standards. Like, I'm talking I'm talking wangs. Wow. I'm talking Wingstop wangs.
Okay.
I've got
okay, you got more?
I've got more. Someone recently posted a clip of us talking about kids at metal shows and how we think that kids should be at metal shows. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot of responses from parents actually saying that they were going to take their kids to go see, you know, various metal bands. A lot of people saying they're taking their kids to Download. Shout out to Download Festival. Someone replied to me personally and said, as soon as my son is old enough to come to gigs, I will take him. I've seen the band before, and if I've seen the band before and I know what the crowd will be like, I'll start with them. I like to think as a parent, I will have an understanding of his behaviour to know whether it's right for him. My little one loves music, and I will be blasting Korn as he stands there dancing and clapping. I want him to experience live music with me. It's been my love for so long, and I want to share that joy with him. Plus, it means he can learn gig etiquette and be used to it, so I know when he's old enough and goes to shows without me, he will know how to be in a crowd. That is a really good point!
That is a good point.
You are an amazing parent.
It was ruined for me, Yasmin, because my friend, who has a child and is also in a band, gave me another perspective. Like, most gigs don't start until 9 p.m. And for most children, until they become like young teens, their bedtime should be about 7:30 p.m. And this person in the band was saying that they've played a gig before where there's like somebody with a baby, like a toddler flopping, like their head flopping all over because they're asleep in their arms. This person's like, yeah, horns up. And actually, yeah, kids are fine to be at gigs, but if it's past their bedtime, it's not fair to keep them up late.
I do think the only time where that's kind of acceptable is at festivals, where it's a really large space. And, you know, parents are smart. There's like these little carriages that you can put your kids in and wheel them around while they sleep. Like little
prams?
No, not prams. They're like little wheelbarrows that people buy, and it's like specifically made for festivals. I've seen them before where it's
I've seen those.
Like they, because they're easier to...
It's like a little playpen thing,
and kids just sleep in them and put their headphones on and fall asleep while the festival's going on. So, like, I think that's really cool. And also, Like, there's very much like a, if the kids are tired, like mom can take them back or dad can take them back, and they do shifts each night where one parent gets to see the band while the other one stays in the tent with the kids. Like, I think that festivals are definitely a good place to start for kids, to bring them. Yeah. I really want to take my niece to a festival. I want to take her to Download Festival and be like, look,
it's very child friendly.
Either that or 2000 Trees, I think.
We had another recommendation here that was sent through. I'm alt Latino in the US, and you asked about bars and clubs. So I wanted to tell you about Club Nocturno in Los Angeles.
Ooh.
It's a Latino gothic space, and they have multiple rooms, different types of music. And it's a great opportunity to listen to alternative music that's in another language, because it's in Spanish.
Oh, my God. I would love that. I would, again, when we were young, ship me and Sophie out. Let us experience the culture. Okay? You're stopping us experiencing culture when we were young, Fest. Take me out there. That would be great. I recently went to New York, and I went to Cubbyhole. Not alternative, but very lesbian. Very lesbian. I don't remember walking in that building. I don't remember walking out. American's Freeport, and it was dangerous for my liver, but it was great for me.
Do you have any more social ones?
I do. Okay. Hey Yasmin, hope you're well. I've messaged you this from my account because I would prefer to remain anonymous. Before I start, I want to tell you how much I love the podcast, and I listen to it at work every week. I'm 18 and currently a female vocalist of a rock band. My band has recently done a gig and we got some amazing feedback. The venue said it's the biggest crowd they've had yet, and people absolutely loved our performance. I had people coming up to me at the end telling me how much they loved it. However, online there were some not so great comments, which I understand is part of the job, but I couldn't help feeling like some of the comments wouldn't have been made if I was a man singing. How do you combat sexism in the music industry and ignore hateful comments? So what would you say? I think for me personally, on Instagram and on TikTok, you can block certain words and you can hide certain words on Twitter. So like, I don't like certain things being said about certain parts of my body, so I block those comments. So if people comment that stuff, they can't comment it on my Instagram or my TikTok, and if I see it on Twitter, it's immediately hidden. So I think if you want to protect yourself, go in and use those features so you don't have to see that, because people will do it anyway. So it's better for you to just kind of exist and not see that rather than try and ignore it.
But also, I think I would add that when you choose this life, you're choosing to have that as well. It's the good with the bad. A bit like if you're a film star, you're choosing to have paparazzi. It's going to happen. So you've got to find your peace with it. Whether that's, like, I don't tend to post that much on social. And I think it's part because I don't want to know what people think of me. I can't be asked. It's like, I don't give a shit about your opinion. So I know that's not the advice to not post, but you have to find your space. Like, Yasmin deals with it so well, and you get more shit than, like, because you'll get it every day. It's not once or twice here or there. You get
it's every
all
day.
The time, because you're getting how many comments per video? You're getting thousands per day.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. So it's rough. It's rough territory out there. But unfortunately, it's part of it.
I think as well, knowing that other people are going through it is kind of comforting. So
yeah,
I don't know if that helps, but yeah.
I like to click on people's profiles, and like, all of the things that you're not supposed to do and make fun of people for or shame people for.
You get a free pass. If someone's being mean to you, you can go on their profile and make fun of them.
There was somebody who tried to make fun of us on one of our videos, a member of a band.
Oh my God. Very well-established band.
When I clicked on his picture and I saw...
This is tea. This is fucking tea, right? This won't be in our social clips, but I'm going to say it now. I won't say the band.
I don't even know if it could be in the episode.
A very popular person in a very, very popular band that I loved growing up said some horrible shit on our video.
It was so ugly.
Brother, you are in a metal band.
So ugly.
And
then I'm like...
clapped! You've been doing this for 10 years and you still clapped.
People are trying to make fun of us for how we look. And then I look and I'm like, there is no world... in which, like, you're so ugly. And that's a horrible thing
and
to say.
Such an insignificant member of the band anyway, so.
Yeah, so it's just like, whatever. That's how I deal with it, is by hating back on people,
comments. Because in our heads. We could have easily just screenshotted that comment, tagged the band and gone, do you really think this about us?
I had a whole plan, Yasmin.
But
I saw that they were going to tour the UK. I had to be talked off the ledge by my boyfriend because I was going to set up an interview.
and then be at the end of it be like, so why did you say this about me?
Yes.
So chat shit get banged. You want to chat shit, say it to my face.
And my boyfriend was like, they don't matter, they're insignificant. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah,
they would love your press, you're right, Sophie. You're right. They would love
Can you imagine if I did that interview? How funny would that be?
I think it would be hilarious to watch them try and stumble and be like, it was just a joke. Say it to my face.
Say it to my fucking face.
I'd be like, that's okay. If you were serious, just tell me that again to my face. Like, I don't care if you're joking or not. Say it to my face. Half of the people who say shit on the internet would never say it to your face. I've had one person come up to me in real life and say something horrible to me.
Yeah. Or that was a download,
people.
Wasn't it?
There's two people. There was the download incident, which was just, but there was also this time where I was at Bloodstock and me and my friend Lilith were going around interviewing people and somebody stopped me and went, aren't you the person that supports this band that kicked out somebody for having allegations? And I turned around and I was very drunk at the time and I really wished I would have said, you're in the line to see Lorna Shore, who did the same thing. And as I sobered up, I was like, I should have said that. But it pisses me off to this day. If I ever see that guy again, I'll be like, you saw Lorna Shore! Yeah. I'll just start yelling at him. That poor guy. I don't really care.
People hold you to too high a standard. It's just ridiculous. We got an email here, talking of new bands, from Joel, who said that he went out on a tour, mini tour, with his band for the first time.
Yippee.
And he said he knows a lot of bands have finally gained decent recognition recently and opened up about how they basically started by playing to no one and worked to get where they are today. But I'd love to know your thoughts on the state of the scene right now in terms of cost barriers and potential to grow. And they've linked an article which is about the truth. It was an article in The Guardian, the truth about how much bands actually make on tour.
Two statements can be correct. Yes, the industry is terrible right now and it needs to change and bands need to be paid more, but that is a long and lengthy process. And in the meantime, I think bands who are wanting to pursue this seriously should have side jobs or side careers to help them support them in doing that. Even if it's a side career in the industry, like you do PR but you're also in a band, or you have a merch company but you're also in a band, you know, like you can be involved in the scene in other ways as well that still make you feel like you're a part of the community. But I think always have a backup plan. And I hate that it's like you have to play to nobody, but also it humbles you. Like, we have had some diabolically terrible DJ sets. We have bombed in front of a room of people who matter so much to us. We have bombed, okay? And it humbled us. It humbled us deeply. If you were able to soar to the sky immediately in your career, you will fall so fast. People who have been in the industry for 5 to 10 years are people who have worked their way up. And it's yes, I know it's hard. I know it's annoying that you have to work your way up and really grind. But the harder you grind, it means that you learn more. Like, I made so many mistakes coming up in my career, and I'm glad I made them on a smaller level. Like, how embarrassing would it be if you did your first tour for a huge band and you fucked up?
There are a lot of people that end up doing that because they've got nepotism on their side. Here's the thing, right?
Nepo, I'm going to give you babies.
Going to give you two Nepo hard
babies. Go on.
Hard facts, right?
Hard.
Hard facts. Number one fact is that it's always been this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been hard for bands. And bands from years past would probably say, well, you're lucky because you can post on social media. We never had that opportunity. We had to get played on a radio station. Mm. And if we didn't get that, we never got anywhere, etc., etc. So it's about finding the things that can work in your favour. But my other hard truth is sometimes as a band, and I'm not talking about the person who wrote in on this one, you might just not be very good.
Yeah.
Because I've not listened to this person's band who wrote in, but a lot of people, I've never met a band who could admit to themselves that they weren't very good or could spot when they weren't very good.
Also, and I hate to say this as well, some bands are good, they just miss the window. Like, there are windows for certain genres, certain trends, certain styles to have their time. And sometimes
you're not good.
And you're doing a certain style of music. That's great, but you haven't put out enough. You haven't put an album yet. You're delaying putting out the album. I've seen some really good musicians come in and just dilly-dally and not put out an EP or an album or any music, or do it in such a long time period that the the window's already gone, you know?
Oh, the window. So, like, you get a bit of hype and then you leave it too long.
Yeah.
It takes a long time. It takes a lot of commitment. And people don't have it.
And I also think, as well, like, you know, being in a band is a privilege. Being in the music industry is a privilege. It's a any kind of creative job at this point is a privilege, because it pays so little and you have to work so hard. But when you finally get there, it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding. But I do think introspection is a good thing. Like, being able to look at yourself and go, yeah, this sucks. There's so many bands that I want to love so bad that I see on the come up and I'm like, you guys would be so great if you just didn't do this.
There's so many bands that just need, I've always said it, just write a chorus, and it's easier said than done. But I'm in the game of radio, so it's like, if you haven't
got a hooky chorus,
I'm gone. Like,
write
I'm done.
A commercially friendly hooky chorus, you're good. Mm. You're solid. You're safe.
So we had another email from our friend earlier, who was Gen Xer looking to make friends, and they've talked about their rock show that they have, and he said he likes heavy but melodic music. Can you point me in the right direction? I want my audience to hear more of this stuff, but as a middle-aged white guy, I don't know where to look. Help. Mate, TikTok. Carl, it's all about TikTok. It's all about the new bands and the new artists you will discover on TikTok just by searching, like, whatever you're into, metalcore hashtags, and just searching different artists on there.
I don't... Melodic metal or melodic metalcore?
No, so this person said... They said that it was... You who introduced me to Wargasm, Nova Twins, Fever 333, that's where I found Alt Black Era. I want to go back to having proper cutting edge stuff on my Wired Ways rock show.
Zand,
pushing the genres
Noah
forward.
Fence, Meet Me at the Altar, Uninvited, oh my God, Pink Shift.
Sleep Theory, I'm loving at the moment.
Sleep Theory. God, who have I been listening to at the moment? Oh, God.
But TikTok. It's TikTok. All about, like, TikTok. Head over to TikTok, and there are so many bands that I discover on there who are doing really cool stuff.
Crawlers are another really good one, yeah.
Yeah, they've been everywhere at the moment, haven't they?
I love Crawlers. I love them so much. Chaperone isn't metal, but I love them, and they're very gay, so I will recommend them. I have a few messages from socials, so I just want to acknowledge this. Jen has wrote in last Friday, only the other week, and said... Loved incredible episode this week. Really impressed with all the research you've done on this, and I learned loads. Thank you.
Does rap belong in rock?
We have spent so little time researching our episodes for so many years, Sophie.
Yeah.
It's so nice when we actually put in the work that people are like, you actually did your job. And I'm like,
thank you, Jen.
Thanks.
So would you prefer to hear? I want you to get in touch with us and let us know. Would you like to hear more episodes like that are heavily researched and there's a lot of knowledge in there? Or would you like to hear episodes that are more silly and flighty and 5 minute I Googles?
We can do both. We are, spoiler alert, I'm really keen to work on a Brian Stars episode. I have all the contacts.
Everyone's going to be working on it before you, Yasmin. You've got to make this happen.
I've got to make it happen. I've got to set up the interviews. I have another one for socials. Just wanted to say, you both have helped me. Oh, this is really sweet. You both helped me in so many ways and introduced me to so many great bands that totally went over my head in early 2010s. Had a rough time. Me too. 2010 was rough. I always feel that a massive part of the late 2000s, early 2010s that is always missed out when is the obsession with Finnish Scandi bands like Him, Rasmus, Nightwish.
The Rasmus.
The whole
In the Shadows.
The whole love metal, battle metal and opera thing was massive. And the likes of CKY, Kill Hannah, coming off of that, and a massive cult following. Also, can we talk about the banger of a hybrid album, Loud Rocks? It's on Spotify. Rap and metal artists at their finest. I mean, Ozzy Osbourne and Wu-Tang. Anyway, love the pod. Love how down to earth you are. It's a breath of fresh air to hear.
That's nice.
Thank you. Stop it. We love you. 2010s, I think, was such a good time for music in general. Like, you look at the sphere. That is my hyperfixation. When people are like, what is your speciality in music? 2010s. Because pop was in such... I miss 2010s pop. California Girls by Katy Perry. Hello.
And then you... So that person went over quite an era, though. They went from, like, 2000s into 2010s.
I love 2010s music.
Yeah, well, that's when you were old enough to...
That's when I was coming into my teenage years, okay? All the angsty music was coming out, and I was there. I was there. I lived through Yumi at 6 feet, Ollie Sykes. I lived through Ollie Sykes, Bring Me the Horizon feet, Josh Franceschi. I used to religiously listen to their collaborated songs all the time on Spotify. I was there for Even If You, When You're Still a Rat, Architects feet, Ollie Sykes. I was there. Silent Speaks, when Ollie Sykes finally started screaming again because of While She Sleeps. I never forget that. God, that's such a time. Do you remember that? Do you remember when that dropped and everyone was like, oh, yeah, he's screaming again? Because he took a little
Do you
bit
remember
of a break.
When My Chemical Romance were like, no more?
Oh my God, don't.
The pain.
I wasn't that into them. And then I got into them as they broke up. And then when they came back, I knew they were coming back. So this is, I can say this now that it's been a year since I haven't worked there. I knew they were coming back because, like, around the time I was working at a place where we kind of knew that that was happening and we were told
Big
ahead of time.
Publication. I remember as well, Fall Out Boy coming back was a huge moment.
I was there when Fall Out Boy came back. I saw them.
Phoenix. Oh, yeah.
Oh, 2010s were great. The whole, like, I don't know, like, era of more women getting into alternative music, like, especially pop punk, like, you had, like, Tonight Alive, and We're the In Crowd, even Paris, which weren't pop punk, but I loved early Paris. Do you remember when Lynn had the little hair and the shaved head and was doing the...
I know.
Give me something to talk about. There's not the shit in my head. I miss that.
Do you know what I find really... Because when I look back on it, in a way, I felt like rock was super underground at the time because we'd come off the back of like the 2000s with nu metal and then emo and all of that. And then there were these bands that were doing stuff, but they weren't in the charts or anything like that. And so I wonder how we're going to view
doing so
this
well
period.
Online. And it's the same with like, I think there's a lot of bands now, like a lot of mainstream bands who are like leading the way for like kind of like in the 2000s with like, you know, mainstream emo core, like a lot of like labels signed Fall Out Boy, My Chemical Romance, Panic at the Disco. The same's happening with like Sleep Token, Spirit Box, and so on and so forth. They'll lead the way, but I think the underground right now, we're gonna see like a new wave of like different genres. We are currently seeing new genres form. Hyperpop was the big one. I can't wait to see what other genres.
I'm curious because like someone made a really good point to me the other day, and they said, if you go up to anybody at a bus stop or on the train and say, have you heard of Metallica? They're going to say yes. If you say, have you heard of Slipknot? They're going to say yes. Have you heard of Linkin Park? They're going to say yes. I would be interested to see if, despite the huge popularity, whether people would say the same about bands like Bad Omens or Bring Me the Horizon.
I think Bring Me the Horizon... You'd go, do you know
mainstream
that
people?
And they'd go, oh no. And then it'd be like, oh, you know the one that did, what's a really popular Bring Me the Horizon song?
Can you feel my heart?
The TikTok one. And they'll go, oh yeah, that one.
Yeah, so they know it as like a TikTok soundbite, but they wouldn't be able to like sing you a song from that band in the same way that, say, Linkin Park or My Chemical Romance, everyone knows the big hits. So I wonder if when...
But that's because My Chemical Romance was like early 2000s as well. So I think we've got another... We're coming into that part now where the 2010s are slowly being considered like in their rightful like iconic status. I think in the next 10 years, Bring Me the Horizon will be cemented with the likes of like My Chemical Romance, Fall Out Boy, Paramore as one of the staple bands of emo.
I'm sure, but it would be interesting to see if they... Because I would say, like, a Green Day, a My Chemical Romance, they're on that same level with Taylor Swift, where you can go up to somebody who has no interest in Taylor Swift, but they know her name, and they could name a song from her. Mm. Same with, like, Beyoncé. I know Beyoncé's been going for years. But there's certain artists, Ed Sheeran, where people go, yeah, and they can name a song. I wonder whether we'll have that in the future with current rock bands. Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Any more comments on social, or are we done?
We're done.
Words of wisdom?
My words of wisdom are... I don't know.
My words of wisdom are live slow, die old.
My words of wisdom are sometimes Sophie K can be right. Sometimes Sophie K will
sometimes
tell you, eat oats and drink more water and eat greens. And I do that now. And unfortunately, it feels so fucking great.
I am so proud of you. Okay, well, if you want to give me a follow, it's at I Am Sophie K.
If you want to give me a follow, it's at Yasmin Suman X on everything except Instagram. You can also follow us at We Wear Black Pod and everywhere. We're on TikTok. We're doing the TikTok now, kids.
Yes, get involved. Please share our TikToks when they come up.
Please.
It honestly means the world to us.
Pretty please.
We want to spread. We want to spread the word of We Wear Black Pod.
Right.
Wide and far. Yeah.
When far. All right then. Bye.
Bye.
You were listening to On Wednesdays We Wear Black. Please rate and subscribe so that we can keep doing what we do. Special thanks goes out to the Nova Twins for the badass music and Wargasm for the killer screams. See you next week.